Welcome to Create Pod, a podcast about the art of podcasting. My name's Mike Moody. With me is
Grant Davis
and
Mariah Gossett.
Guys, this is a loose panel discussion that we do every few weeks. It's so loose that we're playing with a clock
recording.
As we're recording. Grant, what's wrong with the clock?
Does it make I thought I was hearing it too.
It sounded like something was just like wobbling on the table over there.
It was the clock. The clock acts up every so often.
All right.
It's a prop clock.
It's a prop clock. We shouldn't even have batteries in that.
There's no need for the batteries.
Yeah. So we're here at Permanent Record Studios, permanentrcrd.com, here in Austin, Texas. And I just wanted to talk about studio recording versus home recording. And Mariah, I know you have a lot to say about that. You just came from a class teaching about podcasting. Where are you
teaching? So I teach at the Austin School of Film. It is a great nonprofit space, creative space that has co-working. And then they also have a school. And so there's the Motion Media Arts Center as well as the school in the same building. And so they teach everything from like digital filmmaking to audio for film. And they'd been getting a lot of requests for podcasting because it's an interesting way to sort of test out some intellectual property or some creative ideas with a slightly lower barrier of entry than film does. And so this is the second time I'm teaching Introduction to Podcasting and Audio Storytelling. And it's really fun.
And just tell me a little bit about your background for the new listeners of, in podcasting.
If you haven't listened to my interview on season one of Create Pod,
createpod.co,
you can go check that out. But so I have been full-time independently producing and editing podcasts for the last year. And before that, it had been a long-time side hustle for a few years. I have a degree in media management from the New School. Very fancy. Spent all that nice money for that piece of paper. But yeah, I love a good spreadsheet. Gotta get that paper. Spreadsheets, equipment, making things sound good, and making compelling podcasts.
Grant Davis.
Yo.
For people just joining us, what's your background on a podcast?
What? Are they just joining us?
Yeah.
You never know.
What are you doing here?
Welcome.
I'm orienting the listener.
You know what? I've been podcasting for like a decade or so. Yeah. A decade plus, 12 years now? I don't know.
You're what we call talent.
No one thinks of me as talent.
I do.
But I've been podcasting for a long time and have podcasted in all sorts of different environments. Usually the just slapdash thrown together, opening up a laptop in an echo chamber and thinking that was acceptable for the audience, or the type of podcast recording where you have like 8 mics and 45 people all on mic clamoring to talk at the same time.
Mariah's worst nightmare.
I've done all of those kinds, and at a certain point in podcasting, if you want to take it seriously, you have to really consider your environment and the quality of what you're producing. And
indeed,
being around other people who I saw taking it more seriously and recognizing that I needed to kind of step up my game, it was a great moment to collaborate with you, Mike, and starting a podcast studio here. And this, at least from my perspective, the intent of this space was not necessarily a business venture so much as we wanted to just pool our money so that we had a spot for us to record our things. And you had a great beat on a place. And I don't know what I brought to the equation, but I tagged along.
It was your idea to kick it off as a business and rent it. As far as I remember,
I think it was your idea. Actually, you were like,
I'll take credit, even though it was you.
We can actually pimp this place out, and other people will come here. And I'm like, okay, I don't want to be a business, but
it's all my fault.
It's a fun realization.
Yeah, it's really interesting just seeing how the appeal of a place like this has resonated with Austin and people coming from out of town. Like people are like, wait, you have a fully dedicated space to podcasting? That is exactly what I need. And we've seen a lot of growth in podcasting as far as the independent podcasters really taking stock of their environment and buying great equipment to deck out their home and make it a good environment to podcast. But at the same time, it is a limiting factor for a lot of people. Not everyone has the availability of space, resources, funds, time to dedicate to building up their own home studio.
A room, even,
a
to
room,
do that in.
Right. And us being able to not only take away the pressure of building out a space, having a space that's dedicated, but also capturing and delivering the files for them and just making it a seamless thing was, I think, a big draw for a lot of people and very appreciated.
Yeah. A big complaint I've heard from people who come record here about their home setups is it's never quiet.
Right.
I can never find a quiet space, and there's tons of echo, there's tons of reverb, and I don't have a dedicated space, so I can't have a mic setup, a mixer setup, a computer setup in one space all the time where all I do is turn it on and record. I have to set everything up mm-hmm. every time. And sometimes I plug in the thing to the wrong thing, and I'm doing tech support for myself and my guest or my co-host for an hour.
It's a whole other level of stress and hassle.
Yeah, when all you really want to do really now as a podcaster, especially as podcasting has taken off to a number of different types of content creators, they just want to focus on the content and get their message out and not fuck with the tech. And that's what a dedicated studio space provides, especially like ours. All you have to do is come in, sit down. We know beforehand who's coming, what they need. It's all set up.
Yeah. And I mean, it also obviously depends on what kind of podcast you're working on mm-hmm. and what your needs are. And, you know, just in my class today, like everyone is like the most nervous about dealing with equipment and the actual recording process, which we're covering tomorrow. And so I'll, you know, maybe I'll come back and let you know how it goes with everybody.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the idea that if you have an idea and there's a space that you can go and at least like try it out without having to make a big investment and learn how to use a bunch of tools that you might not even use ever again is very appealing. You know, and in my class, we talked about today the fact that there are over 700,000 podcasts available in the iTunes store right now. And so the question I get a lot from folks that I teach or people I produce for is, how do I have a successful podcast? You know, obviously, I can't answer that question 100%. There are some magic and luck involved in quite a few things.
Well, I mean, just get Oprah to host.
Right. Or a celebrity. You have to be a celebrity. But the three things I think that are always in shows that are successful is, one, the content is good. Two, you're consistent. You're posting it on a schedule that people know when it's coming out and they can find it. And three, that the audio quality is good. And that third one is what makes most people nervous, right? Because the content, if you are a creator or a storyteller, that's on you. You can figure that out. Consistent, it's finding that room in your schedule. But then the quality audio, if you're someone who's never had to use audio equipment before, that's very intimidating. And so, you know, if you have those first two pieces of the puzzle, finding an easy way to grab that third one is much easier when you can come into a studio. And I've seen it from newbies. Like, I work with folks who this is their first podcast, all the way to clients who've done it so much in their garage that they're like, I cannot do that anymore. You know, I can't set up that space. I don't want to think about it. They just want to come in and be that talent and show up and do the work. So,
and, you know, I recognize that in part this is almost sounding like a commercial for us, right?
We're not trying to be an ad.
That was not the initial
intent. This is our experience.
Yeah, this is what we've gone through and why we have the space that we have.
Right. We all started out in our spare bedrooms.
Oh, yeah.
Or
under blankets, in closets.
Right.
But I had a manager back when I had a 9-to-5 who...
You had a job?
I at one point in time,
like
I did
actual
have a job.
We can't afford the music I'm singing.
But one of the most valuable things I heard was about, I was having struggle with some of the ancillary aspects of, you know, billing with the billing department and like clocking my hours and stuff that I found a little bit more time consuming than me being able to just create and do the main thrust of what my job was, you know, the admin stuff. And my manager was like, yeah, that's actually unacceptable. You should not have to do that. And we hired you as a creator to create. Mm-hmm. My job as your manager is to make sure that you have all the things you need just so that you can focus on creating, and all that other stuff should be so streamlined that it shouldn't be such a hassle for you. And that's something that just that idea has stuck with me about, like, the importance of being able to facilitate a space for someone that is doing something like podcasting, you should not have to both podcast and always agonize about the technical aspects. Mm-hmm. Like, that is such a big ordeal, and it's not always geared for everyone. There's certain type of people that thrive with that, right? But other people, you just want that kind of turnkey experience of, like, go in and you have someone else who takes care of the weight of making sure everything's leveled, everything's going to record properly, that you've secured a proper environment for it, you start and stop everything, and that you've considered all other aspects of your recording scenario. And being able to provide that for other people, I see the benefit of, like, the stress, like, removed from them, and they're like, mm-hmm. oh, I don't actually have to deal with that. That is a value that I think is something that I'm proud we provide.
Yeah. I think so too. I think it's even a value for, you mentioned, like, the tech heads or the gear heads, the people who do like to mess with the gear and find out what's best, because we've had a number of clients who've come in and just wanted the quiet, dedicated, padded, sound-treated space, but they'll bring in their own tech, mm-hmm. which we allow too. A lot of people bring in their own video cameras. We've even had people bring in their own recording setups because that's what they're comfortable with, but they just need a dedicated place where their baby's not crying in the background or there isn't a dog barking. I know one of my favorite clients, I love all of our clients, but I produce for Chris Cubis, who records here, and he told me the main reason he started coming here was because he got a new puppy, and the puppy is always barking and whining in the background of his podcast because he does his podcast in his kitchen, and he wanted the podcast to sound good, so he came here, and it's good.
Yeah, it's great. I always joke, too, for folks who have cats. I think cats are just insanely attracted to microphones because I've edited—
And laptops.
And laptops. I've edited numerous shows of people who record at home where you hear the small tap of the cat jumping on the table, and then you hear the person trying to scuffle them off, mm-hmm. and it doesn't work, and then the cat just, like, rubs right on the microphone, and you're just like, oh, man. And then it's just, like, the low purr off to the right of, like, the cat just sitting there, and you're like, well, at least they're just sitting there, and I think I'm going to keep the cat purrs in because it's kind of cute.
That's atmosphere right there.
Right? Yeah, you're painting the scene, you know? And that's the other thing, too, is, like, if you are someone who works in, like, larger narrative pieces and you need that, like, really good quality narration to add to the atmospheric stuff that you've already done,
That sound booth quality.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to have the options so that you aren't— – I mean, I can't count how many times I've had to record stuff in— – you know, like, hotels, because I can't find a place in whatever city I'm in. And so you're just, like, turning off the air conditioner and hoping the maid doesn't come by with the cart. And you're—
those
underneath—
hotel air conditioners are the worst. They're so loud.
And you're just, like, under a comforter. And then, God forbid, you want to talk to another human. And then you're just like, get under this comforter with me.
Yeah.
I promise this isn't weird.
Yeah. That's what Josh Barrow, who does the Daily for New York Times.
Yep.
That podcast.
Haley shows are crazy.
He talks about how when he travels, sometimes he has to have that episode ready each like night, so it's ready to go up the
next
morning.
Isn't it Michael Barbaro?
Is it?
Yeah.
Who did I say?
Josh Barrow.
Michael Barbaro.
For the Daily.
You're right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he talks about how he'll throw a sheet over top of his head mm-hmm. and then just record on the bed like that. And mm-hmm. it's make and do with what you got to do. But we also have a lot of people that come into this studio who just kind of want advice on what they can do for their home studio. Mm-hmm. And we are happy to give that because I think the end goal is just more people making good quality audio.
Always.
And we would love to just, like, advise you on different things you can do to pad your space, whether it's putting up more curtains that are just going to make your walls softer so your voice isn't bouncing around a room.
Putting down a rug.
High pile rug. Making sure that you have your cords organized in a way that you don't have any cross hum of electrical equipment, like don't have your electrical lines going over your XLR cable, stuff like that, right?
Good mic technique, staying close mm-hmm. to that mic and not getting far away so you sound like this.
And knowing what are good mics for audio recording versus
right.
Good equipment for producing music or whatever.
Right, or like the difference between a dynamic mic, which is what we're using now, which picks up the sound right in front of it, as opposed to a condenser mic that will pick up everything that's in the other room sometimes if you turn it high up.
Yeah. I know, I'm really excited. Part of the thing I like with my class is I let them use different kinds of microphones. So they can hear the differences between a condenser and a dynamic and then a shotgun mic. And
oh, so they get hands-on use of tech.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And because I think it's the best, that's the only way I've learned how to use stuff and what I like using it for. So like, I honestly, take me anywhere with a dynamic mic and a shotgun and I can make you something, because that shotgun mic is really useful for field pieces, because then it's somehow not as intimidating as putting like a big old microphone in front of someone on the street and you're like, tell me about this thing. It's just this like weird little pole and they're like, okay.
Because the shotguns are very thin and
small. It's like if you've ever watched like someone making a movie.
It's almost like a Bob Barker mic.
Yeah, sort of. It's commonly referred to a lot as a boom mic, but the boom actually refers to the pole that it's being held on. So, but yeah, it's super, super useful. So if anyone likes nature things, I highly recommend a good old shotgun mic.
That said, though, the home environment does have a lot of perks.
Mm-hmm.
The convenience, obviously, is going to be number one. The fact that you can just go to another room in your house whenever you feel inspired to record.
Right.
And
if you want a podcast at 3 a.m,
mm-hmm.
Right.
You have your setup.
There's that issue of like when inspiration strikes and you want to just get to the mic and talk if that's your style, or you know that you need to do a conference call with some other people at some crazy hour because you're calling someone across the other side of the world or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to trick out your space so that you can do that, I think it's valuable, but you should always talk to other people. You can reach out to other people who have done this. Reach out to people like us to get advice, because you should have better quality audio. It does matter in this highly competitive market, like you were saying, Mariah.
Right. Yeah. And I think, do y'all ever go on the Transom website, transom.org?
Yeah.
It's super.
I listen to their show too.
Yeah. How sounds so good. I always recommend that website because I always get the like, what is the best podcasting mic? And I was like, well, it depends on what kind of thing you want to do. And I think that's a great resource instead of having to go down the rabbit hole of a gazillion tech bros telling you what is the best microphone on
or
YouTube.
Like, yeah, or like watching a really out-of-date YouTube how-to. Yeah.
It's changing all the time. And and the other thing I tell folks is brands matter, especially in audio. Like someone was asking me about, you know, lavalier microphones the other day and how would a podcast sound with that. And I was like, I don't really think they're great for it unless it's pertinent that you hear the environment around you because it picks up everything, you know. And I know, especially even here, like y'all have all the name brand stuff and there's a reason for it, right? You know, like there's a reason we rely on companies like Shure and Sennheiser and all those folks is because they actually know what they're doing. And
you can't use Sorney anymore.
Yeah. Sorney.
Sorney.
No free ads. No free ads. I mean, they're consistent. They have warranties. They last forever, these mics. And they're consistent. The sound and the quality is consistent with the name brand.
And they usually have great, like manufacturer warranties and stuff like that. So if anything does go wrong, they're good for that. Same thing with, I've had problems with Zoom recorders before, and you send them in and they send you a brand new one right back. So.
Nice. I wanted to recommend a few resources. I mean, you talked about transom.org. Mm-hmm. Is there another, besides createpod.co, I always like to point people to the School of Podcasting, which is a great podcast. Dave Jackson runs it, and he is an old middle-aged guy, but he's been doing podcasting for 15 years. But he's not one of these guys who's stuck in a rut like a lot of people who maybe started out. He's not like a gatekeeper.
Mm-hmm.
I know you get a lot of those who've been around, and you can only do it this one way. But Dave is always evolving in terms of his tech, in terms of his content, in terms of his perspective of what a podcast can be. And he's always up to date, so I would definitely check out his show, The School of Podcasting, for advice, not just on tech, but about creating content. And he also interviews great podcasters.
I'm also fascinated with how tech has evolved since we started podcasting.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, just like the old school mixers and like how everything was so cumbersome.
Everything was analog.
Yeah, the quality of the microphones, or like everyone had those snowballs forever.
Oh, forever.
Oh, I hate those.
Those were generally not good. Like, yeah. That was such a mark of the environment you're in, whether or not you're going to have okay audio.
It picked up everything, and it didn't have enough bass. It just didn't sound good.
And people would just stick in the middle of the table and put eight people around it.
Right, yeah.
But, like just now, like, recently they came out with the Rodecaster, like, a couple years ago, and I'm just blown away by the elements that are integrated so seamlessly into that and how well it plays with – we record – usually with Adobe Audition, and how you can capture each individual track. You can load sounds. You can Bluetooth right into it on an individual track.
Works great with video as well. Mm-hmm. Patch the Rodecaster sound right through the video, live video as well.
And it just makes everything so much cleaner for our studio.
It's easy to take calls on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So everything is continually improving, and when they figure out new tech and they're kind of pushing it to the masses, I'm fascinated to see what Mike brings us. I'm not researching this. Mike's usually researching.
I think in terms of tech, like, the best thing I've seen come out in the past, like, couple of years has been the Rodecaster Pro, which is just an interface and mixer all in one. It's fantastic. What's your favorite piece of tech, Mariah, if we're talking tech?
Oh, man. I think it has to be my Zoom H6. It's just so...
It's a recorder.
It's a recorder. You can use it in a studio. You can take it with you out into the world. I've used it on film projects. I've used it, like, doing more documentary style. It fits in my fanny pack.
It's got four XLR ports.
Four. You can add six. There's an adapter for the top.
Oh, man.
You can have up to six. It's great.
It sounds so good, too.
It does. It really... It just does the job, and it does it well. They've got individual gain, adapters for each one. I've hooked up, wireless lavs to it, plus a boom pole, plus, I've been covered in wires, and it just is a champ.
Nice.
And you can – it's got battery power as well as grounded wire power.
They're also great with, if it breaks down, send it in. They'll just replace it.
Yeah, totally.
Which – very valuable.
So valuable. I will say there is a thing with the memory cards, and I can't remember what it is. So the newer memory cards, there's two letters at the top, and I will remember them eventually. But
SD.
No, they're SD cards, but there's an XC or an XH,
right.
And one of them does work and one of them does not work. And so I thought there was something wrong with my Zoom recorder, but it was just I needed a different...
Getting granular here.
We ran into that same issue with one of our...
Oh, really?
Zooms before we stopped using them because it wasn't as applicable once we got the Rodecaster.
Right, yeah.
Right. But we're
using the Zooms as backups, yeah.
Yeah, so it's I think it tells you somewhere on the internet which one works and which doesn't. But I just remember freaking out because I was on my way out to do this very documentary style project. And I was like, I need more cards and none of them are reading. So we had to do an emergency drive over to the Best Buy.
Oh, no. I know you've... You probably have a lot more experience than Grant and I do in recording in the field.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we can talk about Ivy Lee's podcast a little bit.
Yeah.
Fear of Going Out, FOGO.
FOGO.
You recorded out in the wilderness with her. What was that like?
We did, yes. We went out and camped for 2 days, and I used mostly the shotgun microphone with a handheld stand so that I could just hold it. And then I also brought out a boom pole for when she was out in the water so I could record her out there.
And that was hooked into your Zoom?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Everything was just into the Zoom. I brought two Zooms. I have the H4 and the H6, and I brought those out with me. And we would use the H6 if we were more sitting around for a while because the H4 is a lot smaller. And because I was only really piping in one or two mics at a time, I could get away with that. It's great. And then I use the Sennheiser dynamic microphone for what are called tape syncs. So if y'all have ever listened to, some of the bigger podcasts around the country and you're like, wow, how did they get such good quality interviewing someone halfway across the country? It's because there's someone like me in the room with the other person halfway across the country recording their half of the interview.
Right.
And then it gets sent to the big time producers and they mix it all together.
Yeah. We do tape syncs here too. We've done Futura Media, a number of different larger companies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And sometimes, they can't, the folks maybe can't leave their house due to schedule or accessibility or whatever. So if they can't come to the studio for a tape sync.
Go to their house and stick a microphone in their face.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the most awkward and fun part is when I have to take room tone for producers.
Uh-huh.
So room tone is used either to take out bad sounds or sometimes used to help transition between a piece of audio that's in a different place and then you're moving to a new place. And you just have to sit there for a minute and get just the sound of a room. and you have to, the people always want to keep talking to you. And I'm just like, I really need you to be quiet for the next 60 seconds. I know this is really awkward.
Have you ever tried to do that and then you just hear a toilet flush in the background?
Nope, I haven't gotten that. Usually it's like a dog barks or like the wind picks up, but that's kind of fun.
No poo-poo sounds?
No.
No.
No toilet humor yet.
I was doing a tape sync with a client and they're like, all right, we need to do a minute of room tone. I was like, okay, let's do it. And we started going. Then they're like, I don't want to wait. Never mind. It's good. Just stop it. I was like,
it's just too awkward just staring at you.
Yeah. I was like, okay, whatever you want. This is your call. Fine with me.
Usually I'll do the room tone after, like if they leave.
I try to get it with the person in the room just because sometimes if they're like a weird, this sounds weird, a weird breather, like if they have a whistle on their nose or something like that, it's like nice to get that just in case, but I don't know.
One of those whistle boogers. Yeah, make sure you get that.
The whistle booger joke got a laugh and my poo-poo joke didn't get a laugh.
Yours was gross.
Was it too gross that I just crossed the line, crossed the grossness line?
I think it would have worked if it had happened. I think that was the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have a toilet here in the studio.
To flush.
Yeah, to flush.
Now I'm checking. I'm like, do you actually? Oh, no.
I need a soundboard on a roadcaster for the toilet flush
pad. It could be like a
pad.
Drive time morning show.
Yeah. okay. Let's just recommend some good podcasts. I think a good thing to do on this show or on our round tables, just tell people what we're listening to. I know I already recommend School of Podcasting. You recommended House Sound, the Transom podcast. Mm-hmm. But let's just, we don't have to really talk about podcasts about podcasting. Just what's good that you've been listening to in terms of content, in terms of audio quality? Who wants to go first?
Oh, man. Well, I just finished the Radiolab's Dolly Parton's America series, which was...
I didn't know Radiolab produced it. I haven't heard it yet.
It was excellent. Yeah, it's Jad Abumrad from Radiolab.
Yeah.
It was just so good, so immersive, and a topic that I thoroughly enjoyed. And I thought they did a really cool job working in music and sound design. And then the next one I just started, like literally, but it's riveting, is Catch and Kill, the Ronan Farrow.
Oh, yeah. I've been dying to listen to that.
So good.
I've been listening to Endless Thread, which is the Reddit podcast.
Whoa.
It's actually pretty entertaining.
It's all just QAnon theories.
No, they just they take these different interesting little stories that have popped up on just various, like, they don't go into the seedy weird shit, but just kind of these usually just more optimistic kind of stories are just fun and quirky. And they do a really nice tight show about it. It's a fun listen. It feels similar in vein to Reply All, which I already really love listening to as well. And then more recently, because I was doing the Watchmen podcast, I was listening to the three-part official Watchmen interview that was conducted by Craig Mazin with Damon Lindelof. And I thought it was a good discussion between the two.
Craig just running that HBO podcast apartment.
I know. He's like, I just want to do podcasts instead.
I like, what is his show?
Chernobyl. Script Notes.
Script Notes,
he does
his
Script Notes podcast with John August. They've been doing that for almost a decade.
Yeah, I pop into that one.
It's a great screenwriting podcast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I'll recommend that. Script Notes. But I've really been listening to, I'm a big fan of The Ringer. And even though I'm not a big sports guy, they have a really great entertainment arm. Mm-hmm. And do you guys ever listen to the Rewatchables on The Ringer? It's fantastic. Basically, they just go through some great rewatchable movies. Sometimes they have really great guests on. They had who are the guys who made Uncut Gems? The
The brothers.
The brothers.
Adam Sandler. I'm going to get this.
I think it was the Safdie brothers, right?
Yeah,
They had the Safdie brothers on talking about Billy Madison, because that's where they first came to know Adam Sandler. And it became a great conversation all about how the difference between Adam Sandler's dumb comedies and his more challenging roles, like the way they directed him in
Uncut Gems.
Yeah.
Punch Drunk Love. Funny People.
Right, exactly. So that was great. Recently, Quentin Tarantino has been on talking about a couple of his favorite movies.
Were they all just his own?
No. Actually, you know, it was weird.
With Tarantino? No, it's like as obscure as he can get.
his one of his favorite movies of the decade, and I don't even remember the name of the movie. It was a movie that came out in 2010 with Chris Pine, directed by Ridley Scott, and it was about a runaway train. Do you guys remember this?
Are you sure it's not the one he's in? Oh, Pine, not Pratt. Mm-hmm.
No, I do remember the movie. What was it called? Unstoppable?
Unstoppable, yeah. They did a whole rewatchables on Unstoppable, and I never really wanted to see this movie, but the way Bill Simmons and Quentin had such a passion for it made me want to watch this movie. But the best rewatchables are definitely when they're discussing a film that I've seen.
Right.
And they have different categories that kind of break it down, like the way you would like a season of, like if you're covering, these are sports guides talking movies. So the way a sports commentator would break down a season of
sportball
gameplay for like an NBA team.
Right.
They do that with the movie and also with the careers of everybody who's in it. And it's really great listen. It's only like an hour. So I definitely recommend the rewatchables.
Cool.
On the Ringer.
Nice.
Check these out.
All right. I think we're good. Are we good?
Yeah, I think we're good. Thank you guys so much for checking out this episode. We will be back next week with another interview with one of the podcasters. I'm actually not sure what the order is going to be, who's going to be next,
yeah,
given how we're recording these out of order.
We've recorded a bunch of great interviews with some local podcasters, just like we did in season one, but now we're adding these roundtable episodes. Just go to createpod.co and subscribe. You'll get some great interviews with podcasters all about their process and how they create and market their podcast. And you'll get roundtable discussions like this one.
We'll be back next week.
Bye.
Do we love them?
We love you.